Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the H2 and FY 2026 earnings conference call of Monarch Surveyors & Engineering Consultants Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on beliefs, opinion, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on a touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Srinivas Macha, Chief Operating Officer from Monarch Surveyors & Engineering Consultants Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to Monarch's full-year earnings conference. Like he introduced me, I am Srinivas Macha. I am the Chief Operating Officer of the company. And with me on the call, we have Mr. Dattatreya Karpeya. He is our Managing Director. We have Sanjay Vidwan, who is our Whole-Time Director and Head of Finance. We also have Sunil Kokhare. He's joining from elsewhere. He's Director of Business. Mr. Bale Rao is also Whole-Time Director again, and Mr. Vartish Shah, who is also Whole-Time Director. And along with me, I also have Mr. Sanjay Khandari, who is our Chief Financial Officer. With that, I welcome everyone. And I really hope that you had a chance to go through our financial results and investor presentation we uploaded on stock exchange and our website also. And I hope you made some studies of that. Without ado, I invite Mr. Karpe, our Managing Director, to give a brief on our journey so far. Over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone. It is truly a special moment for all of us here at Monarch. Looking back in the recent past, your company got listed on BSE SME platform in July 2025. It was a landmark event in our multi-decade journey. It represented the immense trust our investors placed in our vision and our capabilities. I am incredibly proud to say that we have honored that trust through disciplined execution, technological upgrades, and robust performance in our debut year. Before I proceed further, let me take a moment to briefly reflect on our journey. Monarch was established with a clear vision to build a specialized technology-driven engineering and surveying consultancy with strong execution capabilities. Over the years, we have steadily evolved from a regional surveying firm into a diversified infrastructure consultancy player with capabilities across railways, roads, water solutions, land acquisition, and geospatial services. Our growth has been anchored on domain expertise, client trust, and consistent investment in technology. On the global and domestic macroeconomic situation, if you look at the global landscape, economies are navigating through geospatial fragmentation and trade uncertainties. The IMF projects global growth to moderate slightly to 3.2% in 2025 and 3.1% in 2026. Against this backdrop, India stands out as the world's fastest-growing major economy, heavily insulated by our domestic fundamentals and the massive front-loaded capital expenditure pushed by the government. We are witnessing a generational multi-year infrastructure supercycle in this country. The government has allocated a record infrastructure CapEx of 12.2 lakh crore for 2027. The national infrastructure pipeline has swelled to around 13,000 projects worth a staggering 185 lakh crore. In the railway sector alone, we are looking at a record 2.93 lakh crore outlay. Including 7 new high-speed rail corridors and a new dedicated freight corridor, your company is well placed to ride this super cycle. Before we move on, I am happy to report that your company has proposed a dividend of 16% for approval by the shareholders at the ensuing annual general meeting, subject to applicable laws and regulations. I thank you with this. Now, I would like to hand over to Sanjay, our CFO, his thoughts on the company's financial performance. To you, sir.
Thank you, Professor, for beautiful insight. As highlighted by Professor, positive market trends have supported strong growth across all our business segments and helped us to maintain good business momentum. As a result of which, our total order book stood at a strong level, approximately 615 plus crores as on March 2026, providing healthy business visibility for the coming period. During the financial year till date, we have secured several important orders that reflect our growing scale, execution strength, and technological capabilities, with total order inflows aggregating to over 750 plus crore. Key win includes mandates from Northern Railway, Western Railway, Central Railway, Northern Central Railway, Nashik Municipal Corporation, Settlement Commission, and Director of Land Records, including MTDC, that's Maharashtra Tourism Development Corporation, and various state government departments across infrastructure. Now, I'll take a simple walkthrough to the financials, what we have presented in the presentation, starting with our second half FY26 performance. Our revenue from operations for H2 FY26 stood at 99.8 crores compared to 115.9 crores in H2 FY25. EBITDA for half year was 30.4 crores with margins remaining healthy at 30.5%, demonstrating continued operational resilience. Profit after tax for H2 FY26 stood at 24.3 crores, reflecting sustainability profit during the period. Looking at full year audited financials for 25-26, our consolidated revenue reported is 171.7 crores, a growth of 11.4% over FY25. Full year EBITDA stood at 51 crores with margins at 29.7% for the year. This reflects benefit of our continued investments in technology and increasing operational efficiencies to greater in-house execution of work. Our final PAT, FY26, closed at 37.2 crores compared to 34.8 crores last year, reflecting a steady improvement in overall profitability. I would like to hand over this to Mr. Sunil Kukre, Director of Business, to take us through the further highlights. Mr. Kukre, sir, is joining.
I'll ask Matsya sir to brief about the business development on behalf of the Sunil Kukre. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. To support our growth, we were aggressively focusing this year on talent and technology. As a consulting business, people are our strength, so therefore our employee base is primary. So we grew from 630 people in March 2025 to over 710 today. We are investing in advanced equipment, particularly focusing on GEDO, digital twin market, LIDARs, drone surveying, and so on and so forth. And geographically, we are Maharashtra focused, but we are also expanding our domestic footprint with new offices opening in Ahmedabad to Nashik, to add it to our Nagpur, Navi Mumbai, Delhi, and Guwahati offices already. More importantly, we have taken decisive step to globalize our business. Our board has approved the acquisition of GMR Engineering Services, which is an established engineering consulting company in Australia, for 1.8 million approximately. This acquisition extends our engineering capabilities beyond India and lays the groundwork to be a truly global services platform. Our IPO actually strengthened our balance sheet and enhanced our credibility with large government and institutional clients. More importantly, it has enabled us to bid for larger and more complex projects, which is now clearly visible in size and the quality of our order wins over the last couple of quarters. Just in this new financial year, that is 2026-2027, we won our single largest order to date, 130 crore three-year contract with Northern Railways. This order actually is a clear signal from the market that Monarch is now a formidable and a premier engineering consultant capable of executing massive multi-year infrastructure mandates. With that, if I go about talking about FY 2026-2027, our focus depends not only on business acquisition but also on execution. This is a priority now. We are very keen to convert our 740-750 crore order book into revenue through a very disciplined milestone-based management, timely revenue collection, expanding our client base nationally and internationally, and actively investing in people, processes, and technologies to support our growth. So we are investing in technology for sharper project management, identifying underutilization of resources, and fixing that, more importantly, training of the existing staff, realigning compensation in line with new laws and regulations, and so many things. So many things are afoot at Monarch. This is a foundation that we are building of both technology and talent, and I am certain that this will actually help us capitalize the next phase of growth at Monarch. That said, I thank you all for your time. I would like to open the floor for any questions you may have. Rahul, please take over.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touch-tone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles.
Sure.
First question is from the line of Disha Chordia from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, please go ahead. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Thank you so much for this opportunity. Firstly, sir, on the order book that we have currently outstanding, 615 crore, what will be the execution timeline typically for this order book?
Good afternoon, ma'am. We usually have around one to three years' timeline for execution of this order book as of now.
You said one to three years, right?
That's correct, ma'am.
Okay. Okay. And so you mentioned about this new acquisition that we've done, GMR Engineering Services, that we've done in Australia. If you could just elaborate a bit more on what was the rationale, what sort of synergies we see, and when do we expect to close this acquisition?
Thank you for that question. GMR was a strategic, or still is a strategic, investment for us. We are trying to acquire this entire thing 100%. Basically, we are exploring new markets. Bahrain market is going to open very soon with the Olympics coming in. And there are many road projects typically in Australia. And GMR specializes in road engineering consulting. So they're very strong at in Victoria State, Shepparton province to be specific. And they're a profit-making company. They're a 20-year-old company. They have people with them for almost 5 to 8 years. On an ongoing basis, a very stable enterprise. And we were always looking for, you know, expansion opportunities. And we thought that this worked very well for our dreams. So therefore, you know, we thought of, you know, going ahead with this.
Okay, so what sort of order book does GMR have and what sort of margins does this company have currently, EBITDA margins?
One moment.
Could you repeat your question, ma'am, please?
Yeah, I was just asked about the EBITDA profile of GMR and what sort of order book and visibility that does that company bring?
Company is a very old company. What as of now I can say is their turnover will add around 8 to 10% of our turnover. And they usually work on gross profit basis, like we work on EBITDA. So we expect a good revenue, good EBITDA to add on in next year.
And when do we expect to close this acquisition?
We should be able to, if everything goes well, our diligence and, you know, FEMA and everything goes well, then we should be closing this by first week or second week of July this year.
Okay. And what sort of, because we have a healthy order book and you mentioned about the tailwinds that we see in the sector, what sort of revenue growth are you penciling in? And these 30% and EBITDA and 20% PAT, is that sustainable with the current orders that we have?
We've been maintaining this kind of, you know, numbers for at least, in the past, and there is no reason why we shouldn't have the same performance. If anything, it has to be more sharper. But I'll have Sanjay talk to you specifically on the.
Yes, ma'am. We have targeted this margin to be continued in future because we have taken big projects with acquisition also. So we are targeting this EBITDA and profit to be maintained over coming years.
Okay, and any sort of color on the revenue growth that we're penciling in FY27?
Those are futuristic, ma'am. I mean, there are many dependencies on upcoming projects with execution, and then there are acquisitions also going on. But what we can say as of now is we will continue to maintain that level of growth. Turnover wise and EBITDA wise coming going forward.
Okay, and any sort of color on the pipeline? What sort of projects are we bidding for? If you could just throw some light on that.
I'm really sorry. You may have to repeat that. Couldn't hear that clearly.
Yeah, what sort of order pipeline are we currently bidding for and what sort of projects are we targeting? If you could just throw some light on that.
You want to take this question?
Yeah. Hi, this is Sanjay. Let me answer your question. We have a different segments and different LOBs. The order book generally is full of all the LOBs. And our more focus is on the roads as well as the railway detailed project reports. And land acquisition is also one of the main LOB that we are having our order book full with.
So I was asking about the future projects that we are bidding for.
The same pattern is going on. We are also concentrating on the railways roads land acquisition projects as well as the geospatial projects which will be coming in the next 4 to 5 years.
Okay, that's very clear. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Marmik Khandelwal from Arth AIF. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, there's a huge increment in the other current assets in the asset side of the balance sheet. And I believe that this would be due to the FD, fixed deposits, the money that we would have raised from the IPO proceeds. Can you please provide me the complete breakup of what they're sitting in other current assets?
So you are correct. Other current assets include FD as per Schedule 3 norms. Which let's say fixed deposits are between 3 to 12 months, amounts to approximately 80 crores, which is included where there is balance with government authority of around 2.25 crores net of taxes. PDA and other small prepaid expenses.
Okay, so basically 80 crores is the FD that you are putting.
That's as per schedule 3 requirements between 3 to 12 months fixed deposits are being phased in.
Okay, sir, understood. And sir, is there any specific reason due to which our performance has lagged in FI? H2 FI26, if we compare it with the H2 FI25.
You mean to say it has come down, right?
Yes, sir, it has come down.
So these projects are based on timelines. So okay. There are certain projects where we initiate and there is a gap between billing and acceptance from the government authorities over the portal. So there are some overlaps over a period of time, but if you see, we have grown 11.4% over a year. So benchmarking a half year when the projects are in process and then it's executed over next 6 months, like after September, would have, but overall we have shown a growth of 11.4%.
Okay, sir, understood. And then you spoke about the acquisition we did in Australia, and as you just said that it would be around, the revenue from there will be around 8 to 10% of what we are doing. So
that's correct,
right? If we say it will be around 17 to 20 crores of top line it would be doing, and
you are correct.
And then what would be the EBITDA and profit margins, EBITDA and PAT from it?
So that will be reported in the next 6 months as well, because they are conceptually working on GP basis. The exchange rate, what we are looking at now, and what the end it comes. We are very positively, but then EBITDA will be a good figure for you in the 6 months.
So will it align with our EBITDA or anywhere near our EBITDA?
It will be near our EBITDA only.
Okay, sir. That's great. That's great. Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you for much.
Yeah,
thank you. Sir, your voice is not very clear.
Yes. Is it better now?
No, still the same. Sir.
Better now?
Yes, sir. This is better.
Yeah. So I was saying that, you know, on GMR acquisition, one of the things that the company has got is a zero debt company. And the core services they offer are land survey, engineering design, drone surveys, GIS, asset management, things that we do here at Monarch in India. So they're complementary. And if anything, we're looking at, you know, growing that team and the service portfolio there, and hopefully we'll expand very soon.
Thank you. Before we move to the next question, ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in the question queue, please restrict yourselves to two questions only. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Next question is from the line of Madhur Rathi from Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
So, sir, I'm extremely disappointed with the number that the company is posting. Since the past 2 years, it seems company is growing at 10% CAGR per annum. And I don't understand how come our order book is continuously growing, but I mean, the execution is just not happening. And on top of that, we have gone ahead and acquired some company in Australia out of nowhere. So I'm really disappointed to sum up. And if you could please tell us that how much revenue you will do in FY27, I'll be very grateful.
So coming to your first question, I mean, the order book is very healthy, as we stated earlier. Execution, you must be aware more than us that there are timelines for the project. There are some projects which we complete early, but we maintain a strong EBITDA. I mean, that's the bottom line what we have it. And acquisition is a strategic decision which is not planned overnight. We have been planning for a long time. Only thing is we have disclosed at this moment. And we are very much financially healthy to acquire this, and that's the reason we have taken this step, sir.
So again, my question was, what revenue can we expect for FY27?
So, sir, as I told before, those are futuristic things. There are many dependencies, but then definitely when we have a next earning call, you'll get a good numbers and your disappointment will go, sir.
Sir, so just to get clarity, we have acquired this Australian company for 13 crore and you are saying it will do around 17, 18 to 20 crore top line with the same EBITDA as us, so basically 30%. So basically 6 crore EBITDA company we have bought for 12 crore.
No, sir, it is not like that. There are many people and consultants involved in that. The valuation depends on many factors. The company, as you told, is a very old company. There are 12 full-time employees of the company. They have good order book in hand, and there is an asset also along with 1.8 million, which we are acquiring it. And then definitely what we have told you, the figures 8%-10%, that is the present trend which they are working on. And when we start the business, there will be some good and some tough times which we are going to have, but we are very much planned for it, and we are very confident that we will fulfill your expectations, sir.
I am very disappointed. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Dhwanil Desai from Turtle Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, sir. Sir, my first question is, and it's more of a clarification, that 615 crore order book doesn't include the 130 crore order that you received in post ending of FY26, right? That's the correct understanding?
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't. This payment, I think, in this
point. Sir, your voice is not clear.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully, it is better. This order, 130 crore landmark order we are talking about, is came in this new financial year. So, it is not part of that. The total order book stands at around 740, 750 approximately. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
so that's the number that, you know, it stands at right now.
Got it. So, sir, my second question is, and again, I am not looking at any futuristic number. I don't want you to give the number. But, you know, if the timeline of execution has not changed while our order book has grown at a much higher than, you know, 10% that we have done over the last 2 years, is it safe to assume that our revenue growth will kind of, you know, be in line with our order book growth? Because execution timeline before and after also would be remaining the same. So order book has grown at more than 25-30%. So shouldn't we expect those kind of growth?
Sir, that execution, there are many line of business which we are working. There are some projects which we execute within 9 months also. There are some projects which takes 12 months also. Some takes 1.5, 2 to 3 years. So exactly with matching with the order book and the revenue doesn't commensurate that way. The important thing is we have so much of things in our platter. And as Macha sir said earlier, we are more focusing on execution. And that is the reason we have increase in manpower also. So it's a very strategic way of planning to execute, and then definitely you'll see that the execution levels have been increased in coming years.
Got it, sir. Okay. And sir, so typically in our business, you know, getting order is one part of it, but executing within budget on time is also equally important. And if you see, there is a very sharp jump in our order book, you know, over last 1 year, and recently we got a very large order again. So in terms of the ability to deliver projects on time within the, you know, within the scope, you know, what are we doing, you know, and do we have more hiring plans beyond the number that we have? What kind of employee headcount that we are looking at? If you can talk more on the execution side of it.
Yes, thank you very much. But if you can see, we have heavily invested in our resources. We have increased number of employees now who are trained, who are capable of getting work done. And yes, we will try to keep the pace of the execution of the work. And the order book, which is the growth of order book, we will try to maintain the same growth as well as the growth in the execution of the projects and converting those order book into the revenue. And we have already taken few steps for that, and we will be continuing to do the same in future.
Okay. Just one suggestion, sir. Even if we don't give guidance, at least some indication on how we are looking at company's growth or let's say next year, next 2-3 years, that would be really helpful, because we have no way to understand how order book will get converted into, you know, actual revenue, and what are the timelines, what are the milestones. So we have absolutely no see-through to that. So if you can, you know, help us on an aggregate basis understand that going forward, that would be really helpful. Without giving any guidance, you can just indicate a number or a trajectory, whichever way. So,
Previously also we gave the answer to this question in last meeting also. We have increasing the employees, as Sanjay sir rightly said right now. As manpower is increasing, if you see the figures of the employee salaries, it is increased. Number is increasing. The quantum is also increasing. The skilled manpower is being employed. And order book will get converted definitely. This is a confirmed orders which we have received. And that is going to get converted definitely. Only the thing, the question you ask rightly, is the span of. There are different projects with different milestones we getting the money in. It's not like we get one order and after completion we get the money. We get the money as per the milestone basis. So that definitely order book is going to get converted into revenue. And depending upon the project size and our capability, we are increasing the employees. We have the machinery's capability to serve those orders. Everything is there right now, matlab with us. That is why the IPO was done and the machinery and everything is there. Increasing manpower, getting the work orders, higher work orders is getting increased, and also manpower we are increasing. So our efforts will be also to, very given short span, we will be executing more orders now, hence onward. And this case will be going on.
Got it. Got it. I have more questions. I will come back in. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ishima Bansal from Alpha AIF. Please proceed.
Yeah, hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so I wanted to know about the project you had received, the Somnath Dwarka Expressway, right? About 100 crores worth of project. Can you just give an update on where actually it is in terms of the status of the project?
Yes. The current status of the project is we are waiting for the alignment to be finalized. It will be finalized. We have mobilized our team and equipments to the site. We are just waiting for the confirmation from the government for the approval of the alignment. Once it is done, we will be executing the work soon.
So what is the timeline of this project?
It is typically for 18 months, 18 to 20 months, we are hoping to complete the work.
Have we booked any revenue against this project in this year?
Sorry, come again, please.
Have you booked any revenue against this project in this year? Year financial 2026?
Not yet.
An effective number for this project for financial 2027?
As I said, the entire work will be completed within the span of 18 months to 20 months. The revenue you can expect proportionately.
And when did we see this project? I think it is in September, October last year.
Yeah.
So already 6 months are over. So are we on the timeline to complete this project in another 1 year?
We are slightly behind the timeline, but definitely we will cope up with that, and we will keep the pace going on. And as I said, within 18 to 20 months, the work will be executed.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Naman, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, please go ahead with your question.
Sir, there are certain non-current investments worth 13 crores and other non-current assets worth 36 crores. Can I get the bifurcation, please?
Sir, non-current investments, as you said, is 13 crores is fixed deposit. That is as per Schedule C norm. The deposit which is maturing more than 12 months, this is as per Schedule 3 now, we have to put it in current other investments. And what was the second question? Could you please repeat, sir?
Other non-current assets worth 36 crores.
Sir, other non-current assets are basically security deposits and EMD and others. Basically, and those are basically that we got some big orders, so we have to give for EMD and security deposit, which is converted later on. So those are basically the items.
So basically, we have FDs worth 93 crores, correct? Short term and long term both.
So in total, we have 86.82 to be precise, reported on balance sheet 31st March.
Okay, sir. And sir, if our utilization is such low, I mean the deployment of proceeds, then how did you come or arrive that number that we are going to raise 90 crores in ISO? I mean, the deployment is as and when we receive the project, we'll get manpower and machinery, correct? So, I mean, we can finance through debt or other ways also. If we are raising such and still the deployment is pending after almost a year when the IPO has hit the exchanges, could you share the timeline by which you will deploy our most of the proceeds?
So definitely, I'll share it. As I said, we have around 86.82 crores in fixed deposit. And then unutilized portion is 66.43 crores, which we have planned to spend during the coming year. And nevertheless, to mention that we in April also, we have given some advance for machinery, which is reflected in our financials, and then the machinery has been delayed because of the geopolitical situation. Otherwise, the amount would have been reflected in March 26. So, in coming years, we have strategically planned the outputs for those IPO money.
Got it, sir. I'll get back in queue, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ashish Soni from Family Office. Please go ahead.
Sir, Sir, any headcount numbers you have planned for this FY 27 and 28 in your mind as per your expansion plan?
Please repeat the question, sir.
Any headcount numbers you have planned for FY 27 and 28 for your company?
The headcount you are asking?
Yes.
Sir, as of now, we have a sufficient manpower. Going forward, that depends upon the frequency, the timing, and the speedness of the project execution. We may hire also if required, because as we said that we are committed to complete the project in given timelines. We may going forward hire some new people.
But any specific numbers? That's the question.
As and when we get the project work order, according to the work, effective utilization of existing manpower, we firstly see, observe that, and then we keep on employing the further employees. So there is no specific number count plan as such. As and when required, we immediately, not as and when required, before the planning is there, as and when the project is to be executed, we hire the specific skilled employees.
In the last H1 call, indirectly you told you want to like a sort of repeat this for IPO. I think you grew from at least 70 to 150 odd turnover. So the reply what you gave in H1 last conference call was you indirectly might come to 300 crores in, by FY 27-28. Is that a fair understanding, or are you seeing any particular execution challenges on ground in different LOBs? And if you can elaborate on that.
About the numbers you talked about, we never give any number specifically. We are not allowed to give the futuristic any numbers per se. But as and when the projects are, we are receiving orders, we are receiving, and according to the timelines of the project and some contingencies might be there from the government side whenever we get the order. That time it might get delayed from their side only, because we are equipped with the manpower, we are equipped with our machinery and everything. Planning is already there. So from our side, there is no delay as such or something for the execution.
Any particular line of business are you seeing execution challenges from government side, because you are primarily dealing with them? So any particular line of business are seeing the challenges?
Not as such. In any of the project, road project, some challenge might come from the local people or something like that. But we are able to come out of that thing. We have got the experience of so many years now. We are able to achieve it.
I think regarding that Somnath project, you initiated, somebody pointed out, right, that you are delayed and there is some delay happening there, right? As per your expectation. So I'm trying to understand, because you are getting a bigger order also, right? So I'm trying to understand how are you planning for that, and is it typically like 3 to 6 months getting delayed, or it's more because getting point you are not so much into Jal Jeevan Mission, but that project got delayed by a year last year, right?
Yeah.
Can you elaborate on that point?
Yeah, as I told earlier, yes, the project is a bit delayed from the government because of some pending decisions from government side, and we heard that it will be sorted soon, and once it is sorted out, we will we have already mobilized our equipment and the manpower, etc., and as I said earlier, we will cope up with the timeline and we will deliver. We don't have any doubt in our mind. We will definitely do it.
And what's the current utilization or current headcount, and what's the expected in FY 27? Because I think Srinivasan spoke about it that you want to increase the utilization of existing resources. Can you give that number also?
Yeah, you mentioned my name. Can you repeat that question, please? Couldn't get that.
Utilization of your current headcount. Headcount, what's the current utilization and what's the expected in FY 27? Because you said you want to increase the utilization of existing resources.
Yes, I mean, rationalization is one thing that we always chase as a dream because we need to have people deliver to their competence and capability. That's one element. Yes. Other element is people need to be staffed to execute projects. Staffing typically is a lag factor in our kind of business because only when you get a tender is when you actually staff. So it takes a bit of a time to get the staffing going and the right staffing going. So there are two elements that actually, you know, hold a little. At this point in time, I think if we talk about the numbers,
740.
Yeah, 740 odd is the strength right now. And we're aggressively actually recruiting again, like I said, you know. There are different projects. Okay, one is just, you know, 130 crore project that we're talking about. So a lot of ramp up is happening in Patna and all that. That's one. We have a project of settlement commissioner, which we lead, you know, 140 people as, you know, on the job of hat. So ramp up of that also is a very tough job. Although there are, you know, licensed surveyors that we need and, you know, ITI people, very difficult because they need to be placed in those locations only and so on and so forth. So there are challenges of ramping up. But, you know, we've been in this business for so long and I think, you know, we kind of know how to, you know, deal with this thing. So, like Sanjay was saying, I expect something nice in our H1.
And one small request, after we report the results, can you arrange the conference call within 1 or 2 days? And if possible, can you publish at least some sort of summary of the quarterly numbers if it's possible?
Yeah, point taken. We should be able to do that.
Okay. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Guneet Singh from Counter Cyclical PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I would like to understand we have increased the headcount. So, based on our current capabilities, what kind of revenue can we execute in any given financial year? I don't want any guidance, but I want to understand the key current capabilities of our company.
Yeah, so I mean, we answered this in different ways and different people have asked the same question. We'll stick to what we said earlier. There's no reason why we cannot maintain our numbers, revenue, or EBITDA, or profitability. You know, give or take some, you know, basis points, but we should be able to maintain it. So that is a good, you know, guidance enough for at least, you know, foreseeing future.
Okay, so 10% growth, which we have been maintaining.
No, not like that. There's no, we'll not say numbers. I mean, I'm just saying we should be able to, you know, repeat our past performance. I'll just say that.
That's 10% growth only, sir. But and do we own our own this LiDAR systems and drones, or do we lease them out?
Absolutely, yes. And we own everything, the equipment that we have. We actually own it and we deploy it. And this is actually, you know, one of the good things about Moha. Other competitors of ours have some equipment, some they rent out, some they don't even have the capability to execute. We have everything in-house. So therefore, our ramp-up comparatively is faster and in a more planned manner.
Got it. So generally for our projects, who are our main competitors, if you can name a few? For roadways, railways, waterways.
There are a few of them, but depending on the LOB, the names and the competitors are different. But generally, RV is a company who we can say that they are our competitors. And for many projects, different players are coming up, but the competitor as such, we cannot name a particular, but RV, yes, we can say he is one of the our competitors and who is also working in different LOBs.
So what was the name? Sorry.
Arvi.
Arvi.
Okay. Yeah. Arvi and Kon. No. Right.
Double A R V double E.
Okay, Arvi. And what about Genesis and Sciences? Do you consider them as competitors? Is the nature of work similar to us?
Yeah, you can say, but we have different line of businesses. We are into more the infrastructure projects like roads, railways. We are into land acquisition. We are into geospatial. Genesis, they are only into the geospatial. But at the same time, we have the capabilities of getting the geospatial work as well. We have some planning works, preparation of development plan, existing land use plan as per the act of MRTP or some other acts. So we have different line of businesses. And yes, Genesis do the geospatial work especially.
Got it. So basically we do what Genesis does as well. And on top of that, we have other verticals also, which Genesis does.
You're right.
So basically, I mean, our capabilities are more than Genesis. That's what you're saying.
You can infer that. No problem.
Okay. So out of 100 crore revenues, how much were unbilled revenues?
The net unbilled revenues is 6.5 crores to 7 crores ranging, 6.5 to 7 crores.
Got it. And total, how much are the unbilled receivables as on date or for the year end?
Unbilled?
Unbilled receivables.
Receivables.
Unbilled receivables,
13 CR. It's
around 13 CR. As on
20. 13 CR.
This is March 26.
As on 13 March.
Okay. Got it. And if we look at our cash from operations and the trade receivables, last year I think our cash flow from operations were for positive 25 CR, whereas this year it's negative 39 CR. So can you help me understand what went wrong this year that our receivables are increasing, our cash flows from operation are deteriorating?
So I'll answer the second question first. As we said earlier, other non-current assets, we have certain fixed deposits there as per Schedule 3 norms. And there is the increase of 60 crores there, which makes the cash flow negative. And we, if the accounting terms, you would say it is a negative. But if you look at commercial terms, it's an investment. So if we exclude that, you have a cash flow of 23 crores positive. Coming to your first question, receivables has slightly increased. That's because of the volume and the execution of the project, the timelines which government agencies gives. They also have certain timelines and we adhere to some timelines. So there are some pending collections of 55 crores, slightly increased, and that's mainly because of turnover is also increased.
Got it. And what is the aging of receivables? How many months? 6 months, how many past 1 year?
Aging is basically 105 days as of now, but there is no big outstanding. Last year, whatever it was there, we have mostly we have collected, and maybe around what we have in financials as of now is around 7.5-8 crores is more than 1 year. Others, basically, we have collected it.
Got it. So, I mean, what is the, by when do we expect to collect them? Who are these due by? And is there some risk associated with this of default, these 7.5 crore of?
You see the present trend, we hardly have any bad risk. So, the default is out of question here. April, May, we have some collections done and we expect this to come very soon, like next 1 and 2 months. We are very aggressive just because the year has been ended. And our team is working on it. As last year we had done an aggressive collections and you see the cash flow is positive now. We hope in the next 6 months and a year also figures to have that cash flow is positive. Just because the year has ended and there were some billings as per the timelines, the balance sheet is as on date. But the working capital cycle, if you see, there are billing and collections. So we don't see any, foresee any problems with the debtors with regards to bad debts or anything. We don't have any past trend of that also.
Got it. And my last question would be regarding the current bid pipeline environment. So you won orders in FY 2026, which was better than FY 2025. So I want to understand, how is the current bid pipeline environment, and is it even better than FY 2026 or similar, or is it slower than FY 2026? And what kind of bid pipeline do you have currently, and what kind of order inflow do you expect in FY 2027? If you can help me out with that.
As explained earlier, we have an order book of a different line of businesses. But to answer your question, we are more focusing on the infrastructure projects, basically railways, roads, highways, expressways, as well as the high-speed rail projects. And along with that, geospatial is our priority. We will be more focusing on the geospatial projects, which will be coming in the next three to four years. And that is our target for achieving the good numbers, business, etc.
My question is regarding the demand environment. So is it better than FY 2026 currently, or do you expect FY 2027 demand environment to be even better than FY 2026, as you are more aware of the situation on ground? So I want to understand that.
One cannot predict exactly, but yes, this year it will be better than the last year.
Got it. All right, sir. Thank you very much. Wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of time, may we please request you to limit your questions to one per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Next question is from the line of Ramesh Kumar Jain from Jain Equity Research. Please go ahead.
Sir, at the outset, I thank for declaring dividend, as I suggested last in a con call, but the dividend declared is very lower side. Then my question is that in last 2 years, your headcount has increased from 417 to 710. That is almost 70% increment in the headcount, whereas the turnover has increased only from 141 crore to 171, only 21% increase in the turnover. So it shows that there is very poor management, this thing, regarding this thing. Despite increase in headcount, the performance is not reflecting in that, this thing.
Sir,
The net PAT also this thing. Yeah.
We are infrastructure project consultants. The number of headcount, whenever it increase, effect will be seen in the next quarter, next half year, like that. We are growing just before IPO and after IPO, the various things have changed for us. Now we are incurring as much as I told about the regular as per the projects we are receiving, we are increasing the headcount. Growth will be seen. There is a timeline, and there is again, I'll repeat, milestone-based money will be coming into the company, and revenue will be booked accordingly, and you'll see the growth in the next coming future.
But when we see the PAT-
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Jain. May we please request you to rejoin the queue, sir? Thank you. Next question is from the line of Shubham Padhiyal from Chhattisgarh Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Am I audible?
Yes, please proceed.
Yeah. So based on the opening commentary and also subsequent discussion, one thing I'm able to gather is that we lagged on execution for this year. So if we can just have a few pointers as to what were the issues for the execution, and also on the acquisition that we did in Australia, what was the strategic decision behind the acquisition? Because clearly we are lacking capability to execute in India, so why to go out of India and, you know, acquire some other company? Yeah.
Your
second question first. We did that acquisition, or we are doing that acquisition for a strategic reason, everybody here said. And there are reasons. I mean, unfortunately, I may not be able to disclose the underlying, but there are very, very good reasons. That acquisition is going to be, as you know, income accretive. So that's the reason why we did that. In terms of the employees and, you know, why we're not able to execute, you know, this doubt, like I mentioned earlier, staffing is always a lag indicator. We get a project and we're staffing and we're struggling to staff. I mean, typically this is how we basically, you know, run behind the project and, you know, recruit the people to execute the project. So, and in the interim, we may need to, you know, put some people to execute something, you know, internal balancing basically. And that actually, you know, if you're going to do that on existing project, it probably, you know, delays a little. So, therefore, this reason has happened, but now we are fully geared. This will not happen going forward. This will not happen.
So, did we face any delays in execution for the last year?
No, not really. But I'm saying, you know, we grew very fast. With two orders, you know, 100 crores and 130 crores, which is like nearly half our balance, right? I mean, half our order book. Right? So that actually, you know, how do I say it? The recruitment part.
Okay, understood. And can we have...
Mr. Patiyal, may we please request you to rejoin the queue, sir? Thank you. Okay. Next question is from the line of Viraj Mehta from Enigma. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Sir, my question is similar, that we have grew our headcount 70% and our revenues have grown only 40%. And in spite of that, we have maintained our margins. So now, as you say that we will grow and we'll not grow 10%. So assuming we grow 25-30% this year, and the headcount growth is not in that region, can we see margins improve?
Sir, I'll start with the earlier calls which we had. As if you understand that the manpower what we hire gives results over a period of time. If you compare the number of manpower in one-to-one correlations with the execution part, my understanding, it doesn't happen that way, because there are manpowers working on different projects and one person is working on different projects. What I can tell you as of now is we are utilizing manpower 100%. So it's nothing like if you compare like number of people which has increased to the turnover directly. And then there is a gap in that. People who execute the work, when we start the final billing, and then the XP is accepted. So whatever manpower we hire will give the result over a period of time. And then there is no one-to-one correlation. We hire these people and it is coming out. And if you, I'm sure that you must be having an understanding. Prior years, we had some consultants working with us. So that cost was heavy to that. And then we took it on payroll. And that is why our EBITDA also increased to that extent, and the manpower also increased. So similar kind of thought process we also have, and we are hiring a very skilled people who can give a better return. And as Nachas sir said, that it's very difficult to find this kind of people in this industry, and then to commensurate with their experience and payment, because to holding good people is a challenge basically in this kind of an industry. But we are sure that we'll give you some good numbers in upcoming calls.
Okay. Thank you, sir, and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ankit Gupta from Bamboo Capital. Please proceed.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, out of our outstanding order book, you know, as on 31st March, as well as whatever we have received during the current financial year, out of this, how much...
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Ankit, your voice is breaking.
Is it better?
Still breaking.
Hello?
Yes, please go ahead with your question, sir.
Sure. So, out of our existing order book as on hand, how much of these orders have a deadline of completion by March 27?
We cannot work out that way, order basis, because as I told earlier, there are certain orders which we execute in 9 months of time, some 6, 1.5 years. So it may happen that we, when government requires that this project, which was like 12 months, has to be executed in 9 months. So we focus on that. So as if like the commitment on a percentage is difficult to say adjustment of time, because there may be certain project which had a timeline earlier, maybe preponed for 2-3 months or postponed because of some decisions from the government side. So that is like a percentage calculating over a period of time with this trend is very difficult to say at this moment of time.
On you know, the headcount thing that you told earlier, so with the existing headcount of let's say 710 employees, is it sufficient for us to you know execute the current orders in hand of 710 crores, or will we also need more people to execute this order book also?
Definitely, as we said earlier, we need some more people. The count has increased to 740 approximately from 710. And then there is a process going on, and then we usually work out at the initial stages of the project of what is the headcount. We start planning. It takes 2 to 3 months to put the right person on the track, and we have to give a notice period also for some other company to join. And to answer your question in one line, definitely we require some more manpower to execute this project.
Yeah, okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Prakash Pandey from Alpha EIF. Please go ahead.
Sir, can you get the breakup of order book of around 600 crore in last 4 years, like when we get this project, like here financial year 26, 27, 24, 23?
So those are cumulative numbers, because as and when the order comes, it add-ons to the number, so the execution is on that. So year-wise, it won't be, and there is no statutory requirement or semi-compliance system in year-wise. So it's an add-on, continuous process. Say for example, the order may come 1 year before, like for 25, we are executing it in 26, and sometimes it may come in 26 also, we are executing that in 26. So that depends upon how...
Are there any projects before year 24 which are currently in progress?
There may be a small one, but then you said that there is delay from the government side and we are not delaying it from our side. Sometimes it happens. There may be some execution which government infrastructure says that you just hold in for some time. Maybe it could be various reasons, unknown political reasons, financial reasons, unknown to us. But to say from our side, there is no delay. I mean, as of now, there is no penalty, no nothing negative in our books for our delay side. So it's basically the government decision which makes us hold some project, and we are on timelines.
Okay. Out of this 600 crore project, is any of the project is from the private agency as well? That's a contractor, private contractor.
Please repeat the question, sir.
Out of this 600 crore project, is this any project of from the contractor, the private contractor, apart from the government?
Oh, hardly anything. I mean, not more than even 3-4%.
Okay. In your previous con call, sir, you mentioned that our revenue will grow with the CAGR of 13-13% annually. So, but in last year, we grow only with 10-odd percent. So, what is the reason that we are not able to, giving the
We have not committed anything like that. I mean, we are not supposed to commit, the statutory boards do not allow us to commit anything in the numbers. But we must have told that we will definitely grow. And the growth is, you can see the growth also. And we once again assure you that we will continue with our pattern. We will grow together.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Mok from Orange Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. I wanted to understand from our current order book, what is the percentage mix from geospatial and the digital twins?
So geotech,
we have not worked out that breakup, but the geospatial we are hoping to come in the next couple of years. We have projects for the roads and railways, which are predominantly in the pipeline, sorry, in the order. Yeah, Smokes, as we told, that we are hoping to get the geospatial work in the coming years. But as of now, we have predominantly the DPR projects in our order book.
DPR and land acquisition.
Okay, and outside of India.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Moksh. May we please request you to rejoin the queue, sir? Thank you. Next question is from the line of Dhwanil Desai from Total Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. One question, the 130 crore order that we have received, that's executable in 36 months. So, what portion of that, according to the milestones, we will recognize it, in the current year? And how is it back-ended? It is equally distributed? It's front-loaded? If you can give some sense on that.
I really do not get your question, but I'll try to answer that. In the 130 crore order, there are so many different projects involved, many projects involved, and as and it is on as and when basis they give us the route alignment, then we start our work. But to answer your question, yes, 25 to 30% will be executed in the current year, and the remaining part in the subsequent years.
Got it. Thank you. That's it.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Prashant Kale, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for giving me the opportunity. And congrats on good set of numbers. So my question is regarding last conference call, we said we have paid some advance for software development for digital twin project. But if I see the balance sheet, there is no growth. And since September to this quarter, there is no growth in the intangible assets. So is there any progress on that development, or the digital twin project is hold, and how much money we have spent on it so far?
So the capital work in progress, if I say in accounting terms, certain part of it which completes goes to the fixed assets. Now what capital work in progress we show as of the balance sheet, basically which is incomplete as on day, and some new office premises which we have acquired, and then there are some part of it. Coming to your question on digital assets, so some part of it may be completed and that is converted into intangible assets rather than showing in capital work in progress. So the movement is in accounting terms, saying that it has gone to the intangible assets, which you can see a big growth there. It's 1.07 crores over the last period of time, and some might be converted into an assets. What capital work in progress you see as of now is something which we, office premises which we have taken it, and some work is going out there.
So how much money we have spent so far on this digital twin project?
As of now, we are not having that data which we can answer exact amount, but then it goes, it's being clubbed into the fixed assets. And if you require later on, we can answer to you working out those figures.
Okay. Yes, all right. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Madhur Rathi from Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, so our receivables since FY24, receivables have increased from 10 crore to 53 crore. So that's an increase of 43 crores. Whereas the revenue has increased by only 33 crore during this 2-year period. So I'm not able to understand how is that possible.
Sir, as on 31st March 26, the outstanding figure is around 55 CR, out of which is unbilled is around 13 CR, 13 to 14 CR is the unbilled figure. So effectively, outstanding debtors are to the tune of 40 CR.
Even if it is 40 CR, so in 2 years, receivable increased from 10 crore fourfold, whereas the revenue increased by 30%.
Right. What happens is, typically in our kind of business, the billing is at the year end or sometimes near by Diwali and near by 31st of March. So as on balance sheet date, the figures are on the higher side and later on the recovery is being made in the next immediate period, April and May.
And I'm not able to understand what is unbilled receivable. Unbilled revenue I can understand, but if it is not billed only, then how is it a receivable?
See, unbilled revenue is a part of unbilled receivables also. The sundry debtors, unbilled revenue is a part of receivables. Out of 55 CR, as I explained, 13 to 14 CR is our unbilled revenue. So that project, we neutralize the cost effect and the correct profit is reported in the current even whatever is the financial year is reflected. And the unbilled revenue is the cost for the next year, and as and when the sales is recognized, it's recognized along with the profit.
So can you tell me that in Sorry to interrupt Mr. Rathi.
But due to paucity of time, we will take this as the last question for the day. For the further questions, you can get in touch with the IR team. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take this as the last question for the day. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Srinivas Macha for his closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much for that.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you very much. That was a very engrossing discussion that we had, and I hope everybody is satisfied with the answers the management team gave. On the behalf of management team and everyone at Mona, I want to extend my deepest gratitude to our shareholders, clients, bankers, and partners for your time and your unwavering support. I also want to place on record the immense contributions of the sales and BG team, project execution team, shared services teams like field executives, HR, finance, accounting, admin, and every single member of Mona family. Thank you all. And only with the dedication of our teams at Mona could we scale the heights. And and reach to this point of time. Thank you all, and you have a very good evening, everyone. Thank you so much.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Monad Surveyors and Engineering Consultants Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.